Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles 32. In verse 9, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, sent his servants to Jerusalem, but he and all the forces with him laid siege against Lachish. To Hezekiah, king of Judah, and to all Judah who were in Jerusalem, saying, thus says Sennacherib, king of Assyria. Assyria was a nation north, very powerful nation, north of Israel. In what do you trust that you remain under siege in Jerusalem? They were surrounding the area. They were starving them out. Nothing could get in, nothing could get out. And he's saying, what do you trust that you should remain in this situation rather than just simply surrendering? Does not Hezekiah, and he was the king of Israel at the time, persuade you to give yourselves over to die by famine and by thirst, saying, the Lord our God will deliver us from the hand of the king of Assyria? Has not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, you shall worship before one altar and burn incense on it? Now, this is a perfect example of what happens today in the world. The unbelievers trying to be religious to convince you to step away from God in some way or to do something ungodly. He is saying, didn't Hezekiah take down your altars and you're following him, but he took down your altars trusting in that God after he took down your altars? Won't God be mad at him now? Will he honor him now? You see, that's what he's saying. The answer is yes, he will, because those altars were never supposed to exist in the first place. Israel was supposed to worship in Jerusalem, not in different places at different altars. That was sin. But you see, this guy was religious, but he wasn't a believer. And so he tried to use Israel's religion against them, not even understanding it. People will do that to you now. Isn't God a loving God? He loves everybody, doesn't he? Yes, but he hates sin. Well, shouldn't we be tolerant of things that are absolutely evil, things that are absolutely wrong before God? Shouldn't we be tolerant of people wanting to be boys if they're girls or girls if they're boys? Because God loves everybody, doesn't he? You have no idea what you're talking about. He died for them, yes, but he'll also oppose the proud. He lets people make their choices, and then he lets people have the consequence of their choices, but he is still a mighty and powerful king who created everything and who holds your atoms together. The king has certain decrees, and he expects them to be followed, even though he loves everybody. So this is what this guy is doing here to Israel. Has he not taken away God's high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, you shall worship before one altar and burn incense on it? Do you not know what I and my fathers have done to all the peoples of other lands? Were the gods of the nations whose lands in any way able to deliver their lands out of my hand? Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my father utterly destroyed that could deliver his people from my hand, that your God should be able to deliver you from my hand? See what he's saying? No God could deliver from the king of Assyria. You think your God can? Now therefore, do not let Hezekiah deceive you or persuade you like this, and do not believe him. For no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people from my hand or the hand of my fathers. This is just history. He's not lying. What he's not realizing is there is one true God and a bunch of false ones. He was serving a false one. Furthermore, his servants spoke against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. He also wrote letters to revile the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people from my hand, So the God of Hezekiah will not deliver his people from my hand. Then they called out with a loud voice in Hebrew to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to frighten them and trouble them that they might take the city. And they spoke against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, the work of men's hands. See, that was the problem with the false gods. They weren't real. People made them up. Now, because of this, King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, prayed and cried out to God. Now, do you see what's happening here? This is a guy who's trying to manipulate God's people into just surrendering and not holding on to what God had given them. Now, he did come with a very large army. And he was trying to intimidate because they were trying to avoid the battle. But if they needed to fight, they would fight, and that's what he's telling them. And he's saying, no one has ever withstood us. None of these gods in these other lands, which were false gods, but he's not seeing it. None of these gods in these other lands could withstand us. Your God can't withstand us either. That's what he's telling them. So you may as well surrender. Now, the response comes in 2 Kings 19 and verse 32. Hezekiah, the king of Israel, and Isaiah, the prophet of Israel, were now praying, and God gave them an answer. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. In other words, he's not going to do anything. That's what God is telling him. He's not going to do anything. He's talking big, he's doing nothing. Now, that's not history, but that's what God is telling them. By the way, that he came, by the same shall he return. And he shall not come into this city, says the Lord, for I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass on a certain night that, get this, an angel of the Lord went out. Now, you can say anything you want, but God always gets the last word. You can have a history of anything you want. God always gets the last word. An angel of the Lord one night went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. The whole army is dead. And when people arose in the morning, there were the corpses, all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away. Well, I guess so. You're the only one left. Returned home and remained in Nineveh. Now it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the temple of Nisroch, his god. Those false gods, by the way, had demons behind them. That his sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer, struck him down with the sword, and they escaped to the land of Ararat. Then Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. What happened here? The word of God says God shall not be mocked. What happened here? This guy looked at his history, looked at his natural abilities, looked at his huge army. 185,000 soldiers by today's standards is a very large army. When you go in and you invade with 185,000 today, that's a massive invasion. He had 185,000 soldiers surrounding Jerusalem. Not even an entire country, just Jerusalem. And one angel killed every single one of them in one night. never underestimate God. Young people, learn this and hold on to it. You never underestimate God. It's not possible in Isaiah 55, 8, 9 to overestimate Him. But never underestimate God. This guy severely underestimated God, and he thought he had all the reasons. Why? He was walking by sight. I have 185,000 man army. All of them are powerful soldiers. All of them are well trained. All of them are experienced. We've had all kinds of countries we've conquered. We've even conquered Egypt. Egypt was the superpower of the day. We even conquered them. Nobody can withstand us, and you certainly, puny little Israel, you can't withstand us either. Don't listen to anybody saying you can. But God had another thought. God is real, and He is exceedingly powerful. So you never underestimate God. Even one angel was more powerful than 185,000 soldiers. God has an entire host, an entire legions upon legions of angels. Scholars believe that there's something around 500 million to 750 million angels. Only one of them was required to wipe out the entire Assyrian army. You never underestimate God. Now, in Jeremiah 31:3, God said, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn you. Yet people underestimate the love of God. The love of God sent Christ to the cross in John 3:16. You can never underestimate the love of God, because you can never underestimate God. God is love. And so when people are told about the love of God, or you say, trust the love of God for you, trust the heart of God for you, and they say, okay, fine, I understand it's a nice thought, but I'm still going to be nervous because I don't trust the love of God. Will it even happen for me? You're underestimating God. You never underestimate God. In Zechariah 2:8, God says, He who touches you touches the apple of my eye. The apple of the eye, literally what that means, and this is what the words in the original language are saying. It's not so much talking about the pupil. Nowadays, if you say apple of the eye, you're talking about the pupil, the dark spot in the eye. That's not what it means. Literally, it's saying the little man in God's eye. That means that God is looking at you so closely that there's a reflection of you in His eye. He says, you are the reflection in my eye. Never underestimate how deeply interested and how deeply protective God is of you. If something happens in your life, you may say to yourself, well, it's a small thing. I mean, it's a problem I have to deal with, but it's a small thing. God's not going to be interested in this. You've underestimated Him. You never underestimate God. You never underestimate how interested in you God is. Well, God won't mind, or God won't know, or God won't care if this thing, it's just a small... No, God is extremely interested. Why would God care about that? I need it, but why would God care about it? It's not life-changing. God is extremely interested. Don't underestimate Him. You never underestimate anything about God. God's interest in you and God's protective character of you should never be underestimated. People lack confidence because they underestimate how much God is interested in them and how much God is willing to protect them. God will protect you if it takes every angel in heaven, if that's what it's required, God will take care of you. Now, one angel killed 185,000. But if it takes every angel, He'll still do it. Jesus said, I could have 12 legions of angels here, if I just say so. A legion is thousands of angels. One of them killed 185,000. Do not ever underestimate God's interest in you and God's willingness to help you, to protect you, to take care of you, to make sure that everything is going just as He has planned for you. Don't ever underestimate it. Well, this was my choice and I did it. No, you're underestimating God. I'm the one who messed it up. You're underestimating God. I don't know if He'll forgive me. I don't know if He'll love me. I don't know if He'll be kind to me in this situation. No, you're underestimating God. Never underestimate God. When God said something, He completely meant it. He didn't say, this is my promise to you, and then give you, well, if this happens and that happens, then never mind. Or if this situation comes up, then I'm going to change what I said. No, nothing like that. He said what he meant what He said. Never underestimate Him. In Matthew 7:8, everyone who asks will receive, and everyone who seeks will find. To him who knocks, it will be answered. You ever wonder if God will answer your prayers? You ever wonder if God will really order your steps? All you have to do is acknowledge Him. Did you ever wonder, did I really blow it? Did I do it wrong? I asked God, but it didn't come out just the way I had hoped. And I could have had it, but I didn't have it. I could have done, but I didn't do. It could have been, but it wasn't. If I had just changed something, and I did pray, but I could have if I just made a little adjustment here. You're underestimating God. Your circumstances, or what could have been, mean absolutely nothing. Never underestimate God's willingness to guide you, to order your steps, to help you. Never underestimate God's ability to do those things either. Never underestimate God's willingness to work His perfect will in your life. Never underestimate His willingness to answer your prayers. Never underestimate His interest in your prayers. The Word of God says that He inclines His ear to hear your prayers. Don't underestimate what God is willing to do with your prayers. Now, Daniel had prayed, and the devil resisted the answer to his prayer. God sent angels to deliver it. Never underestimate not only His willingness, but His direct involvement and persistence and absolute insistence on answering your prayer. I don't know, I'll pray, but I don't know. You're underestimating Him. Never underestimate Him. God should never be underestimated. He is God. He is not a man, He is God. Never underestimate what He said. Never underestimate His willingness. Never underestimate His abilities. He is God. In Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that He should lie. See, people sometimes underestimate God and give Him human characteristics. And humans can lie. Humans can be tricky. Humans can be weird. God is not a man. Don't ever underestimate God by thinking He is like people. He is not. Sometimes people don't want to come to God. Sometimes people don't trust God because what other people, sometimes Christians, have done that they were hurt by. Well, I'm not going to follow God because this person did this. You're underestimating God. God is not a man. It doesn't make a hill of beans a difference what anybody did, even if they do call themselves a Christian. It doesn't make any difference what anybody does. God is who God is. Man is who man is. Never underestimate God by thinking He's like man. He's not. He's nothing like man. Never underestimate Him. What man can you say, this man is love? You can say this man does love, but to say this man is love, how does that work? with God that works. Never underestimate God. God is not a man. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of a man that he should repent, and that means change his mind. Yes, I know God said it, but will he change his mind about me? Yes, I know God called me, but will he change his mind? Yes, I know God accepts me, but will he change his mind? I failed, now will he change his mind about what he thinks of me? You're underestimating God. God will never change his mind. Okay, God knows the end from the beginning. He's the one who put it all in place. He's the one who's devised and is working out the plan of the ages. What exactly is there that would cause him to change his mind anyway? He doesn't change his mind about his love for you. He can't. Don't underestimate him. He doesn't change his mind about what he's willing to do for you. He doesn't change his mind about accepting you. He doesn't change his mind about saving you. He doesn't change his mind about forgiving you. He doesn't change his mind about being patient or kind toward you. He doesn't change his mind about what he thinks of you. If you think he does, you're underestimating him. Never underestimate God. Then it says, he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Well, I know God said it, but I don't know if God will do it. You're underestimating God. Yes, I know God said he will give me the provisions. Yes, I know if I seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto me. I know he said it, but will he actually do it? You're underestimating God. If God said it, it is not as good as done. It is done. You just have to get to it. If God said it, that's the way it is. He is truth. He is truth. His word is truth. He cannot lie. It's a sure deal. It's much more sure than having something placed right smack in front of you. Think, well, this is a sure deal. It's right here. I can hold it. No, that's much less certain than a promise from God. Promises from God cannot lie. Promises from God cannot let you down. Promises from God are certain. Does God have strategy? Yes. Does God have a way of doing things? Yes. Does God have a plan? Yes. Does God have a way of ordering your steps? Yes. Don't underestimate him. You may not understand him, but don't let that be cause to underestimate him. Your understanding does not change who God is, nor does it change what he does. So if you think that something is confusing, you say, I don't see how this works. This and this, how do they exist at the same time? That's not a fault of God, that's a lack of understanding. It's okay that you don't understand, but recognize that it's simply a lack of your own understanding. It's not anything in God. Don't underestimate him. In Hebrews 11:3, the worlds were framed by the word of God, and the things that are seen, which were made of things unseen. Never underestimate God's ability to do things. God spoke the word and the universe existed. That's all it took. God said, let there be stars in the heavens. And there they were. Never underestimate God's ability. You see, we have very little frame of reference to understand his ability. But don't underestimate his ability. We can't imagine, we can receive it by faith, but we can't imagine having the ability just to say, well, let it be thus, and that's the way it is. Let the car appear, and the car appears. You know, we actually do have that ability to a degree in prayer. But to say, let the planets exist, and there they are. How do I do that? You don't. You're not God. So don't expect to understand everything about God. You're not God. But you can accept it by faith, and you don't want to underestimate it. If you underestimate God's ability for you, you're going to be afraid to take steps of faith. But you can't underestimate how God is willing to honor steps of faith. A step of faith means God's going to act. Sometimes God doesn't act until there's a step of faith. When the Israelites crossed over the Jordan, the priests who were carrying the ark in front of Israel had to get their feet wet. And only once their feet were wet did the Jordan part. Had they not gotten their feet wet, the Jordan wouldn't part. They had to take a step of faith before God acted. But what they did not underestimate was the fact that God would do what He said He would do, that He was able to do it. When Israel went through the Red Sea, at least for those few hours or however long it took to get through it, they weren't underestimating Him. There were these two massive walls of water on either side of them, but the ground was dry. They weren't underestimating Him. Once they got out, they started underestimating Him again. And hence, they ended up in the desert for 40 years because of it. But for that moment, they didn't underestimate Him. You take a step of faith and things happen. Don't underestimate God. Sometimes people will say, yeah, I'll take a step of faith when I have this and this and this that I need to be able to do it. Then you don't need the faith anymore, do you? The problem is that the just live by faith in Romans 1:17. If you don't need faith, why would God possibly even honor that in Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But people underestimate God's ability or willingness if they take a step of faith to come through for them. Never underestimate God. Never underestimate His abilities. Sometimes, this is very common in pretty much every church out there. People will not tithe. Now, we don't talk about tithing here. Maybe once every few years we'll talk about tithing, and it's always in passing. Only once. We've been around since 2004. Only once has this church ever had a message on tithing. But you tithe 10% of what you take in before the bills. And people underestimate God and say, well, if I tithe, and I don't know who does and who doesn't, so don't think I'm talking to you if this is talking to you, because I have no idea. I don't know. I don't see that. I know how much. I don't know who. So don't think I'm talking to you if this is you. I'm talking about this because this is generally true in pretty much every church. But if you're not tithing because you're afraid that God's not going to come through for you, that you won't have the money for your bills or for what you wanted to do, I got news for you. You're underestimating God. Malachi 3 says, how have we robbed God? He said, by tithes and your offerings. But he also says, dare Him. Challenge Him. See if He will open the heavens with blessings if you tithe. God says you give and God opens the storehouse of heaven and pours it on you. But people are afraid to tithe. They say, oh, I don't have enough. I might be uncomfortable. No, you have serious underestimation of God. You don't get His ability toward you at all. You think money is beyond God's ability? You've got to be kidding me. Money is one of the easiest things there is. It's just paper. God can give you all the money in the world if that's what you need. He's not going to destroy your life with it either. But you think you're going to save your little tithe and not give it to God? I don't care if you tithe or not. This church is God's issue, not mine. But I'll tell you this much, if you have any sense at all, you're going to tithe. Why? Because God takes the waster and destroys. When I refuse to honor God with what he says to honor him with. God says, fine, you don't think I can do it? You're on your own. That also means that the hedge of protection is taken away and Satan can take all your money. You think Satan doesn't want to take all your money? Satan would love nothing more. Young people, when you get a job, you start tithing. Why? Because God said to. But when you do, you'll be amazed how well you do. I've had people say to me, you know, I haven't tithed and I could not make ends meet. And then I just tithed even though I couldn't afford it. And all of a sudden I had all the money I needed. How does that work? God. That's how that works. God. You don't underestimate his ability to take care of you. Now, why am I bringing up money? People react. I know somebody online is reacting because I'm bringing up money. Young people and money. You shouldn't talk about money with young people. If you don't teach young people how to use money, how are they going to know? No, you tithe. You want your finances blessed, you tithe. You want to have enough of everything you need, you tithe. J.C. Penney was a Christian. For those young people who might not know, J.C. Penney is one of the biggest department stores in the country. And he was just an ordinary guy, started a store. And his store worked well. And he started making money and he was going to tithe off the money and he realized, you know what? With the stuff that my church is doing and the needs that are out there and for the lost and so on, I'm going to tithe 90% and I'm going to keep 10. Because all I really need is the 10% to get by. They need the 90% more than I do. So he started giving 90%. J.C. Penney became incredibly rich. His store became hundreds of stores. Why? Trusted God. He did not underestimate God. People underestimate him all the time, and tithing is one of the places where they like to underestimate him, and when they do, their finances suffer. Show me somebody who doesn't have what they need as a Christian. The only reason, they're not tithing. Now, I'm not saying that God's going to make everything comfortable and without challenge. But I have yet to see a Christian who does not have a roof over his head, food on his table, and clothes on his back. Because God takes care of them. They might be afraid and say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do about this situation. This bad thing happened. What am I going to do now? Do you have food on your table? Do you have a roof over your head? Do you have clothes on your back? You got everything you need. What are you worried about? We need a t-shirt. What are you worried about? God is on the throne. What are you worried about? Don't underestimate him. I'm not saying things never look scary. I'm saying God always comes through. Hebrews 1:3, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Do you realize what that means? It means that everything that exists is being held together and made to function by God. By the word of God, because it's that powerful. You look at some very distant galaxy, and the smallest little meteorite in that galaxy is being held together by God. Its atoms are being held together by God. It's there because of him. He put it there. He made sure it's there. It's doing exactly what he wants it to do. Why? I have no idea why, but he does. You think he can take care of you when he can keep the entire universe together? Don't underestimate his power. As far as you go, In Psalm 103:12, he removes your sins as far as the east is from the west. Don't ever underestimate God's ability to forgive or to deal with your sins, with your failures. He sent his son so that you could be forgiven. Don't underestimate his willingness to do so. There is absolutely nothing that God will not forgive to the person who comes to him. And even the person who doesn't come to him, he's forgiven, but he doesn't experience the benefit. There's nothing that God will not forgive. There's nothing you can do that can ever cause God to be angry with you or to condemn you. There's nothing you can do that God will ever reject you. Never underestimate his willingness and his ability to forgive you of anything. In Philippians 4:9, God will supply all your needs. Don't underestimate how much or when or how or to the extent. God will supply all your needs. I love the word all in the Greek. You know what it means? All. All your needs. Is it a need? Yeah, but it's small. Does it fall under the category of all? Yeah. God will supply it. Don't ever underestimate what God will do for you. He will supply all your needs. You have nothing, God will make sure you have everything you need. No money, God will make sure you have everything you need. No friends, God will make sure you have everything you need. Doesn't matter what happens, God will always make sure you have everything that you need. Don't ever underestimate his willingness to do that. In 2 Chronicles 32:8, with us is the Lord our God to help us and fight our battles. Don't underestimate God's ability to come through for you in the difficult circumstances. Israel was facing a powerful enemy. They were the Assyrian army. We just talked about it. But they were warned by Hezekiah, with them is the arm of the flesh. In other words, it's only what they can do. But with us, we have God. There's nothing that can overcome God. And don't underestimate his ability to do it for you, to protect you, to fight for you, to come through for you. Somebody comes against you, God will take care of them. I've seen that firsthand. People come against you because you're a Christian. They lie against you because you're a Christian. They accuse you of things. You know what? Even if it isn't a lie, even if it's true, God's still not going to tolerate it. Why? Because you belong to him. And if you need to be dealt with, he's the one who's going to deal with you. He doesn't want anybody else doing it. It's like somebody spanking another parent's kid. The other parent's not going to appreciate it. That's gonna, my kid, I'll take care of him. You leave him alone. That's how God thinks. And somebody starts to come against you, somebody starts to do something against you, somebody scares you, don't worry about it. God's on your side. Don't ever say to yourself, yeah, but they're a Christian. Christians will sometimes do that. Another Christian gets carnal, they start operating under Satan's kingdom, and they start attacking a Christian, and that person being attacked says, yeah, but will he still come through for me? The guy's a Christian. What kingdom is he operating under? God deals with people sometimes according to the kingdom they operate under. And if they want to operate under Satan's kingdom, just like Balaam the prophet, who died fighting against God's people with God's enemies, well, you know what? He was dealt with not according to the fact that he was a prophet, but the fact that he lined up with the wrong kingdom. That was his choice. Remember, Matthew 7, 1 and 2 says, you choose your judgment. God will deal with you according to what you choose. You choose your judgment. He chose to stand against the people of God. God dealt with them like an enemy because that was his choice. But never underestimate God's desire and willingness to fight for you. He's very good at it. Romans 8:5, God commends his love to us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Don't underestimate God's willingness to save someone. A lot of us have had this experience. We had somebody we cared about and we wanted them saved, but they were not. And so we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed for years. And sometimes it didn't look like they would get saved. But we kept praying because God said to pray. And we prayed. Even the hardest of hearts can be overcome through prayer. Never underestimate what God is willing to do to save someone. If God sent His Son to die on the cross so that sinners could be saved, there's nothing that God is not willing to do to save. Don't underestimate Him. In James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, ask God. He gives to everyone liberally and He does not reproach them for it. Don't underestimate God's willingness to give you what you need, even wisdom. Even for the details, even for the specifics. I remember there were times when I was in college, especially working on my master's program, when I didn't have time to study the way that I would like to on my exams. Did the best I could, but it still wasn't enough time. And I would pray going into the test. I remember this one exam. Had very little time to work on that class. I was working full time. Had a lot going on. I was pastoring and I was taking classes. And I had so little time to study anything. And I was going into the final exam without having studied. Because I just didn't have time. And I prayed before the exam. And I prayed, and all of a sudden, only during the exam, I understood everything on it. It was a technology exam. I'm not a tech person. But I knew exactly how to do everything they wanted, what the answers were, the procedure. I knew everything I needed to know. And then when I finished the exam, I could not tell you how to do a single thing. Don't underestimate God's willingness to give you information when you need information. I'm not saying don't study and pray instead. I'm saying study and pray. But that was not carelessness. That was just schedule. And God knew it. And He honored that schedule. And I aced that exam, still can't tell you how to do any of that stuff. But I could tell you on the exam. In 2 Timothy 13, He remains faithful and cannot deny Himself even if you don't believe. Don't ever underestimate God's faithfulness toward you. There's nothing you can do to invalidate it. There's nothing you can do to overturn it. Even if you don't believe Him, He will still be faithful to you. Never underestimate. And finally, in Ephesians 3:20, He goes above and beyond anything you can ask or think. Don't ever underestimate how much God wants to bless you. Don't ever underestimate how much God is willing to do for you. Don't ever underestimate the degree to lengths that He will go to make sure that you are blessed. Don't ever underestimate it. How do we underestimate it? We get self-oriented and we start looking at things by sight and we stop trusting Him and then we underestimate Him. Never underestimate God. Underestimating God is a bad mistake. The king of Assyria learned the hard way. You do not underestimate God. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior.
Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me, so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.